Amen. Let's give the thanks to the Lord for what He has done even during this weekend. We are excited. We have learned many, many things. As my wife was praying this morning, she said we have a pocket full of truth in our pockets, and we just need to process them. You know, if all the things, exciting things that God has put into our hearts. And we're so glad to have many great speakers, great Asian speakers and African speakers. And I want to welcome Pastor Gary Skinner all the way from Uganda. And we were so blessed by what he shared. And what is well known about the Ugandan church of Watoto Church is the Watoto Choir. And we look forward even coming Easter, this coming Easter, to have the Watoto Choir to come and just share, you know, the ministry with us. And we're also excited. Tomorrow we're going to hear Pastor Joey Bonifacio. He's going to preach. And I don't think he's around now, but, you know, we're going to hear another great speaker tomorrow. And before that, I want to just specially mention our Cambodian pastors, okay? All eight of them, they will come, all right? Thank you very much for coming, our Cambodian pastor. All right, okay. And many of them. Woo. And most of them are first time out of the country. In fact, they just got their passport just in time, all right, the day before, to come all the way from Cambodia all the way to Malaysia. So we want to thank them, and also together with our Vietnam missionary Annette. Are you here somewhere? I'm not sure whether you're here, but it brought together three other, you know, brothers and sisters from Vietnam. And so we're excited. All right, this conference has been a powerful, powerful input, all right, to us as a church. And of course, this evening, we had the privilege of hearing from Pastor Jeffrey Ramat, of course, the team from Sydney. Mohi, thank you very much for coming. All right. It's an amazing team. And of course, in Malaysia here, you know, we asked whether, you know, where does Pastor Jeffrey Ramat come from? We say Sydney Mohidis Church, right? Because, you know, Sydney here is so well known here, and we are so blessed to have him here this time. But behind, you know, this great worship leader is an even greater Pastor Jeffrey Ramat. And not forgetting, you know, Kenny, thank you for coming. Kenny is from JPCC as well. You know, thank you for coming. And so let's put our hands together and just welcome Pastor Jeffrey Ramat. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Church, let's pray. Let's stretch our hands and just pray for Pastor Jeffrey. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the feast, God, of the truth of your word. And we pray that even this evening, as we hear from Pastor Jeffrey, we pray that may we be in tune, God, with the Holy Spirit, just speaking into our hearts and our lives. And so we bless, God, what he's about to share, that, Lord, we may receive greatly from you. We pray all this, God, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. How are you guys doing? Good? Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, and what a privilege and honor for me and for Sid and all the teams to be here at LEAD Conference 2016. So it was truly an honor, a time of learning as well for myself. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Chris and Stella Kam, and Bernard and all the leadership team over here, and also Pastor Daniel and Mrs. Doris, and also my friend Gary Skinner, that for the last couple of days I can chat with him and know a little bit about Watoto and his ministry. What an awesome man of God, truly a legend. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give all these people a round of applause. This is my last, it's going to be my last sermon for now. And right after this, I need to rush to the airport to catch my plane. But I will take my time to deliver this message to all of you. I believe that we live in a very interesting time, very interesting, very challenging at the same time. What decades ago considered as taboo, nowadays considered normal. And people keep pushing the norm in the name of freedom. What we need to go after years ago, with the help of the internet and the technology, now can be found in our homes easily. Many times, they are already inside our houses without being invited. From online shopping, films, pictures, and even porn. My friend told me his story just last week. He is in his 60s, and he lives in New York. When he was in Starbucks coffee, about to order something, he saw a beautiful lady show up in the counter and ready to take his order. And this beautiful lady asked him, and this is what she said,
"How can I help you?"
My friend was shocked. He said that he needed some time to process the whole thing, he said. Now, how should I address her or him? So he said she needed some time to process the whole thing. But that's the reality of life. That's the world that we are living in. I think that we will see this more and more in the years to come. The question is now, how can we live in this world being the salt and the light without losing our conviction? And today I was asked to share something that is not popular. I wish someone else was being asked to preach this message. I wish Gary Skinner was asked to preach this message, because I know that he mentioned it in one of his sessions that he has a series of this topic. I was asked to preach a message that is not common in our modern world, something that is so misunderstood, but yet so important, vitally important. I was asked to talk about holiness, being holy. And I hope and pray that today I can help you change your mindset. Because if your mind is not being renewed, then it is difficult for you to understand God's plans and God's purposes. But you may think, how can we live a holy life in our world today, where there are so many unholy things all around us? Do we need to hide ourselves somewhere in the jungle? Or do we need to go up to the mountain? Or do we need to detach ourselves from this world? Of course not. Jesus said, "Go to all the world and preach the gospel," he said. So it is clear that he didn't want us to detach ourselves from the world, from this world. Instead, he wanted us to go into this world. So I want you to open your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. And I'll read from New King James Version. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" To be holy means to be separated. But this is the question, why God wants us to be holy? Does he know anything about our world today? Or
Does he know something that we don't know? Again, to be holy means to be separated. We live our lives from the inside out and not from the outside in. I repeat, we live our lives from the inside out and not from the outside in. That's why the separation starts from the inside of us, not from the outside. Holiness begins in our hearts. Holiness begins in our mind. We are to be separated so that we can be used by God. To be separated means that even though we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Now, I want you to think about this. Just a simple thing that we encounter daily. All of us love to have a clean air, a clean house, a clean clothes, clean towel. We don't like polluted air. We don't drink from dirty water. Do you know that you cannot see clearly when your window is dirty? That's why every now and then we need to wash it to make it clean. We also wash our hands often, daily. We take shower because ultimately we like being clean. We like to feel fresh. We like to be refreshed every time. Now, this is my question. Where do those thoughts come from? From whom do we receive a longing to be clean? Because all over the world, people have the same attitude. They don't drink from dirty water. They're looking for a clean water. They wash their hair. They wash their body every day. The question is, where do those thoughts come from? From whom do we receive the longing to be clean? Well, my friends, it is from God because we are created in His image and in His likeness. Because God is holy. God is pure, clean. It means that we need to be holy too. That to be holy should be normal for Christians. I repeat, to be holy should be normal for Christians. It is the way that we should live our lives. We are God's creation, meaning that God knows best how we should function. I repeat, we are God's creations. That means that God knows best how we should function. Just like Apple knows best how this iPhone should function. Toyota knows best how Toyota's car should function. God knows best how we should function because we are God's creation. He knows how we can reach our maximum potential and how we can live to the best of our capacity. But first of all, let me help you with this thought that every commandment of every law that God gives us was not for His benefit, but it is for our benefit. I repeat, every commandment, every law that God gives us was not for His benefit, but it is for our benefit. When He commands you to do something, it is because He wants you to win in life. Because He is for you and He is not against you, because He loves you and He knows what's best for you. He is our loving Father. Let me give you a few examples. If He said, and it is in the Bible, forgive those who hurt you. It is not that He doesn't understand how you feel, but because He understands how you feel and He wants you to be free from that feeling so that you don't have to be stuck in that moment or in that chapter of your life. He wants you to win so that you are able to move on with your life. When you forgive, actually you are doing yourself a favor. You free yourself, you untie yourself from the person that hurts you. You forgive not because of what they are doing is acceptable, but you forgive because you have been accepted by Christ. If you are not willing to forgive, it means that you are stuck. You cannot move forward in your life. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison but hoping the other person would die. Another example is this. If you read something like this, restricted area, do not enter or do not touch, high voltage. It doesn't mean that the command is to steal your freedom, but it is to guard your freedom. It is to guard your freedom. Freedom without boundaries is not real freedom. The command is not to steal your freedom, but it is to guard your freedom. It is for your own benefit. If the Word of God said, do not commit adultery or don't have sex outside marriage, it's not to steal your fun. No, not at all. But rather, He wants you to enjoy your sexual life to the fullest with your spouse in the marriage relationship. If the Word of God commands you to give your tithing, it's not that He doesn't want you to enjoy His full blessing, but rather He wants you to secure your future while you still can enjoy the 90% of it. So His commandment is to benefit us. His commandment is not to limit us, nor to steal our fun, but His commandment to keep our freedom, to secure our future. He doesn't want us to just enjoy His blessing today, but He wants us to be able to enjoy His blessing continuously, now and in the future. God wants you to be holy. It is for your benefit, not for His benefit. It is for your benefit. Isn't it true that Even your computer will function better and faster if you delete all the junks and unused files? Your computer knows that. That's why God wants you to be holy, because God knows that you are at your very best when you are pure and holy. I repeat, you are at your very best when you are pure and holy. You are at your very best when you are pure and holy. You are at your very best when you are pure and holy. And all the guys like over there, you are at your very best when you are pure and holy. You will feel better if your heart is holy, if your mind is pure. You will think better. When you are pure, you will see better if you are clean, and you will have a better vision of your future. Just like when your windows is dirty, you cannot see clearly. That's why many of us cannot see the vision that God has for us, because we don't live holy like we used to, like He wants us to be. Not only that you will be better, feel better when you are pure and holy, but when you are pure and holy, your value will increase. When you are pure and holy, your value will increase. Isn't it true that in life, everything that is pure is more expensive? Everything that is pure is more expensive. I don't know about here, I don't have any much time to go to different restaurant, but in back home, if you go into restaurants and you order orange juice, for example, they will ask you, do you want normal orange juice or do you want the pure orange juice? Meaning that if you want the normal orange juice, you only have the juice over just like this, this much, and then they pour water into your glass. But if you want pure juice, orange juice, you have full glass of pure orange juice, but you need to pay more. When you're pure and holy, your value of life will increase. And you know what? When your value increases, people will start to treat you differently. They will treat you with honor and respect. One day I was walking into a shopping mall, and then they had a discount, a sale. And everyone loves sale, discount, up to 80%. I saw a bunch of people surrounding something, and then they were like busy looking at clothes. And this is the way they do it. And if they don't like it, they put it back. And then they take another one. And then if they don't like it, they just put it back. They don't even fold it back. You remember, maybe you are one of them. But when you see in another corner, I see a beautiful jacket. But they treat the jacket differently because the value of the jacket is much more higher. And they put the jacket in a real nice place, and they have a special sales promotion girl to watch over the jacket. While here, there is no staff whatsoever helping you. You just have to help yourself. If you're pure and holy, your value will increase. And when your value increases, people will start treat you. They will treat you differently. But I want you to know this, that another thing that you need to know is that in Matthew chapter 12, very interesting verse, Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, the name Beelzebub, was mentioned. Beelzebub, or whatever you call it. Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Beelzebub was mentioned. The prince of the devils. Interesting, because the name means the Lord of dung, or it also means the Lord of flies. The Lord of the fly. Interesting name given to the devil. Now, this is my question. How to stop the flies coming to your house? You have two options. You can buy fly repellent, or you can clean your house. Get all the dirt, the leftovers, so that flies would not feel welcome there. Many Christians would use the first options. They go to war with the devil.
They feel the urge to go doing spiritual warfare.
Nothing wrong with that.
Again, you have options. Your decisions have consequences. But the problem with this approach is that if your house is dirty, then it doesn't matter how many times you kill the flies. They will keep coming back. They will keep coming back. Maybe you need to clean your house too. You need to clean your life. You need to clean your mind. Hello? You need to live in purity, in holiness, in order to keep the devil away from you, so that he doesn't feel welcome in your life, because you are so holy and pure and so clean. And that's the other options that you can do. Still, you're open for whatever options that you want to take. But now, in contrary, who is the ones that always tell you to disobey God and His word? Who is the one that supports you to ignore God's command and telling you to go ahead in doing sins? Who told you not to worry and it is all right to sin? They say, just do it. Everyone is doing it. Your friend will laugh at you if you don't do that. Who's telling you that? See, the devil loves it when you sin. He loves to sabotage your potential. He loves to decrease your value, cause you to miss your mark. And that is what sin means, missing your mark. Friends, let me tell you about sin. Sin makes you dirty. Sin is like the dust that covers your true beauty. Sin corrupts your true value. Sin hinders you from giving your best. Sin pollutes your mind so that you cannot think clearly and have the best ideas. You cannot be creative in God. Sin disturbs God's plan for you. Sin put unnecessary burden in your life. Sin is ugly. Sin pulls you away from God. And remember, God is light. So sin leads you into the dark. And sin unlocks death. Sin unlocks death. And I don't have time to explain this to you, but remember this. If you bring sin into your relationship, for example, if you bring sin into your marriage relationship, you activate death into that relationship. If you bring sin into your marriage relationship, you actually activate death into that relationship. Because sin unlocks death. That's why the Word of God warns us not conforming ourselves to the former lusts, as in our ignorance. But if we do that, sin will enter our lives and we become unholy. An unholy heart and an unholy mind will not produce an excellent marriage, will not produce an excellent business, will not produce an excellent life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. See, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. My friend, in DUMC, God wants us to be holy because we are His. Our body is His temple. And He wants to bless us with every blessing in Christ Jesus. And now, you may ask, what should I do? I'm glad you asked. What should I do, Pastor? Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sin may be blotted out so that times of refreshing, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to cleanse you. He wants you to be refreshed, to be clean, that you might have a much better life. Ask Jesus to come to your heart if you have not yet done it. Be born again in the Spirit and make Him the Lord of your life. But this is the next question. How do we maintain our holiness in our life? The holiness in our lives. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, and I read from New International Version, it says, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, the Bible says. Remember, every time you obey the Word of God, you are purifying yourself. Every time you obey God's word, you are purifying yourself. You keep yourself pure and holy. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you towards holiness. That's why He called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always lead you towards holiness, towards purity. And when you are pure and holy, you will start function at your very best. Ideas will flow. Creativities will flow out of you. Wisdom of God will flow out of you. Your burden becomes light. And you will feel refreshed because you feel the presence of God is in you wherever you go. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So I hope that you learn something great today. I hope that the way you think about holiness is changed and that you know that God loves you, that His commandments are for your benefit, not for Him, not for His benefit, that you may reach your maximum potential, glorifying Jesus, be at your very best. And be blessing for others. Because God is our loving Father. Love us so much that He wants us to win in life. And as we finish, I will ask my friend, Pastor Gary Skinner, to pray for all of you.
Come on, I want you to give Pastor Jeffrey a big clap, thanking him for delivering the Word of God. Can I ask you now just to bow your heads for a moment? This is such an important part of our service. This is the moment when the Word of God, which is sharp and powerful and transforming, can change your life, your heart, your situation, if you will believe and obey the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we say we have no sin, the Bible says, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pastor Jeffrey told us that sin brings death, and death is separation. It'll eventually bring you physical death, but it'll bring you spiritual death first, and you'll be separated from God and from the life of God. And the moment that you come to Jesus and you receive Him and He removes the power of sin, He forgives you, Instead of being separated, he joins you together with God and a new life begins. And that's called salvation. It's called being born again. The only hope that we have for happy life and for eternal life is to come to Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world so that no one would have to die, but that all could come to eternal life. You say, oh, Pastor Gary, you're talking to me. There's guilt in my life. I feel separated from God. There's an emptiness. There's a longing. There's a hole in my heart. I'm not right with God. I don't have the peace of God in my heart. My relationships are broken. If I was to die today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm afraid that I might go to hell. Pastor Gary, before you close the service, would you give me a chance to receive Jesus? Yes, I want to do that right now. So while every head is bowed, you make this decision. And it's really up to you. You have to make the decision to step away from your past and your failure and step into the future. Father, I pray right now that you would send Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would hover across this auditorium and you would begin to transform people as they begin to believe you. I'm going to ask everybody just to stand, if you would, right where you are while you keep your heads bowed. You say, Pastor Gary, I need Jesus in my life. I want to give you a chance to come and receive Jesus. But I also want to ask, if you say, well, Pastor Gary, I've already given my life to Jesus, but I've made some mistakes and I've fallen back and I need to recommit my life to Christ. I want to invite you to make that same decision, a decision to walk away from your failure. Maybe you're here and you need somebody to just pray with you and encourage you. I want to ask you just to get up out of your seat right now and step into the aisle and come down, and I'm going to ask some cell leaders and friends to come and pray with you. This is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. That's it. Why don't you come right now from upstairs, from downstairs, just step in the aisle and come to receive Jesus, to dedicate your life to Jesus, to say, I need prayer for strength to live for Jesus. That's it. Come right now. People are waiting to pray with you. People are waiting to pray with you. This is the moment when everything changes in your life. I was 6 when I first did this. I was 16 when I did it again. It changed my life forever. Would you come right now? Just as we sing, come right now. Jesus, we're going to pray together.
I surrender all. And I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. And I surrender all.
I surrender.
And I surrender.
Would you come right now? That's it. Jesus is waiting for you with open arms, waiting to receive you.
I surrender
all. You need prayer, come right now.
Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all.
God, as we sing this song, I surrender all to Jesus.
And I surrender all.
Oh. I surrender all.
And all to thee, my blessed Savior. And I
surrender. Why don't you come right now? You need prayer. You need to give your life.
Church, we are going through a Holy Spirit series, and I think one of the things we are recognizing more and more is that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we talk about holiness, I think one of the things that God will begin to speak to us more and more is that we need the Holy Spirit to do the cleansing work in our lives. And we all know that just a little bit of sin, a stain in our life, as we have lived a life of disobedience, you know, the devil has a foothold, the Bible says, in our life. And as we was hearing the message, I believe God has put something in all our hearts. Basically, I just want to have a last call for anyone who say, I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can be an overcomer. And many of you may not have even received that tangible presence, you know, of the Holy Spirit in your life. Can I urge you that as we go through this Holy Spirit series, you know, do not be shy in just coming forward to just say, I want more of your Holy Spirit. Can you do that as we sing this song the last time? Whatever your needs, you need healing in your lives. You need, you know, God to restore certain things in your life. So up in the gallery as well, if you need prayers right now, one last time we're going to sing this and then we're going to close. So do not wait. If you brought a friend, maybe going through a certain things in their life, you know, ask her, him or her to say, can I walk you up to the front? So one last call before we close, can we sing this song? Thank
you. I surrender all.
Come on, church, sing it out.
Church, let's just focus right now on the Lord. You know, people are receiving prayers right in front here, but I believe the Holy Spirit in ministering to you wherever you're standing right now. Be very conscious of the Holy Spirit. Invite Him right now into your life. Before you leave this place, tell the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want a divine exchange with you right now. Lord, I want to leave this place a different person. I want to leave this place, God, recognizing that, Lord, you desire me to be holy. Holiness is not by our effort alone. Holiness is through the purifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I believe the Lord, as He is right now speaking to you, ask Him. And He's a gentle spirit.
Amen.
And He will whisper into your ears, into your heart, something about your life right now, because He's a personal God. Just focus on Him right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just ask for a divine exchange from the Lord right now. And if you can, speak in it, pray in the tongue right now. You just pray in the tongue, because that strengthens your spirit, man. The Lord says, edify your spirit, because you want to live this place edified in your spirit. Because that's the purpose of gathering as a church, that the Holy Spirit may manifest Himself through us and in us. I hope we remember that one of the things that God has been telling us is to pray in the Spirit regularly, every day. And I hope you have been doing that. I say 10 minutes a day, just do that, and God will strengthen your spirit, man, to be powerful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just a few more seconds. Just focus on the Holy Spirit. My children, I have loved you, and I've always, always loved you. That often you walk alone. You walk alone and you never held my hand. Will you right now stretch out your hand? Hold my hand right now. I want you to feel the strength of my hand. No matter what you go through in your life, whether it's a family issue, whether it's a business issue, whether it's your personal life, the Lord says, hold my hand and hold it tight, and don't let go. I want you to picture yourself as you walk out the door of the auditorium. I want you to picture me holding your hand as you walk out, and to recognize that you can have the confidence in your Heavenly Father. If you have ever felt alone, you are not alone, my children. You are walking with me. And I'm holding your hand. I'm holding it really tight. Don't let go. So Holy Spirit, will you seal these words, God, into the lives of our people? These are your children that you love. May they walk away from this place victorious in you, God, learning to live holy lives, because the Spirit of God is in each of us. So Lord, as we stretch our hands to you right now, will you right now impart, Lord, into us a desire for your Holy Spirit to continue to work in our lives. And we receive that, Lord. We receive that, Lord, because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great week ahead of you. If you need prayers, you can still come forward to be prayed for.